Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and hootie hoo to all listeners in the Big Apple. I just had to stop all my work that I'm doing to tell you some huge news, which is that we are doing our first New York Stratolab Live of 2024 on Thursday, March 21st, featuring Alex English, Edie Modica, and maybe a couple more special guests if you're lucky. So go to thebellhouseny.com or go to Stratolab's Instagram bio for the ticket link, and we will see you there. Enjoy the episode.
Podcast starts now. What is up, everyone around the world? Guess where we are?
We are in Midtown Manhattan. It is Sam's first week back in New York after his sojourn in LA.
Yeah.
Which, to my horror, keeps getting longer and longer. It seems like you are now going to be back there through August.
I mean, imagine how I feel.
I was talking to your long-term male partner about this, who is joining you in mere weeks and, in fact, living with you there through August. And I found myself being like, am I going to start like when we were talking about the prospect of actually not seeing each other or being sort of like at least a little bit long distance for that many months, I was being very like calm up top, but sort of like, you know, stabbing myself with a fork under the table. I was like, what is going to happen?
I mean, it's the way that one, this is terrifying, and the way that I can't stop treating having to go to LA as the worst thing that's ever happened to anyone.
You are maybe no one has ever complained more about getting a prestigious television writing job. And I know I've said this before.
When I've been back in New York, I feel like I'm home from war. I'm sort of It's a Wonderful Life thing. Mm-hmm. Every single thing I see, I'm like, and there's my, that's the little trash. And oh my God, I forgot.
That's the little trash.
I forgot how people dress here. And well, I forgot.
That said, you did just tell me you have never felt worse physically than you have in the last 3 days. So LA, you are feeling, your skin is glowing. You're feeling amazing. Green juice enemas. And yet you are sad. And then you come to New York, you know, Manhattan made with well whiskey, disgusting,
yeah.
Like no sleep.
No, I actually do think I've drank more in like the last 4 days than I have in the last month.
Amazing.
Is that good?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel good. But it seems like what you do here. And I also noticed that like in LA, there is something like there's a point to waking up early where mm-hmm. you're like, oh, I can go outside. Here it's like, why would I wake up early?
Well, New York is about persevering in the face of everything. And LA is about losing your mind despite the sunshine all around you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is turmoil within, peace without. New York is turmoil outside of you, sort of inner peace within. Otherwise, if you let go for even a second, then you'll, you know, fall into the subway tracks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I think that's very smart. I think we've, as a podcast primarily about New York versus LA,
yes.
We're doing our job. You know what, I wanted to bring it to, of course, our favorite film of the year, Madame Web.
Thank God.
So Madam Web is a story, I realized how it speaks to me. It's about someone being in multiple places at once, which is basically what I am. Madam Web is a bicoastal narrative.
So say more about how you relate to Madam Web. And also, by the way, people don't think it's that charming that we love Madam Web. I think they think it's sort of tired.
It's not tired.
I think people need to grow up and regain a sense of wonder.
Well, I also think there's this thing where people are like, oh, you're being gay, guys. Like, oh, let me guess, you want to listen to Lady Gaga. I actually do want to listen to Lady Gaga. And actually, yeah, I do want to ironically stan Madam Web. And I'm actually going to do that for the next 6 months.
It's also like people have forgotten what camp is. It's like people love to talk about Saltburn because it's aggressively in their face trying to become a meme. Mm-hmm. And then when you actually find a movie that is accidentally bad in a transcendent way, people are like, what are you talking about? That's just bad. And it's like, right, that's what we do here. So maybe get with the program.
Yeah. When I woke up this morning in a haze, I was thinking about the time difference. And I was like, I really thought it would be so smart to come in here and tell you that the time difference is Madam Web.
Is Madam Web.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so true. I mean, it is sort of about her. I mean, famously, she goes to the Amazon and back in the span of approximately 5 hours. And so I guess it is sort of about her navigating the time difference. It's a movie about jet lag, actually. I think her superpower is she's sort of in a haze from all the jet lag.
Yeah.
And so she kind of like doesn't remember what she has done and what she hasn't done.
Yeah. I just saw myself in that film in such a powerful way.
No, I agree. And you also bring people together, just like she brought all those teen girls together.
That's true.
You are, you know, always looking fly with your red leather blazer.
Of course. I don't change my outfit.
You do feel very connected to the early 2000s. I feel like, you know, you've mentioned you have sort of a Peter Pan syndrome.
Yeah, I have mentioned that. It's, and yeah, I think that's exactly when I want to be in Williamsburg, you know?
Yeah. Madam Web is very, you know, that video of Beyoncé and Solange at the, what concert is it that they're at? Vampire Weekend?
Grizzly Bear.
Grizzly Bear. Right. Take me back.
Yeah, when things were simple.
Should we address the fact that we showed up wearing the exact same outfit head to toe? Including shirt, sleeve length, jean, denim shade. Color, socks, and shoes.
I'm so shocked and disgusted.
It's really...
Because when I put on a flannel plaid today, I said, well, George won't have the same thing. This is so not George. And then you come looking exactly like me.
Yeah. But there's really nothing we can do now. Okay, should we bring in our guest?
I think so.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm actually buzzing with excitement.
Me as well.
This is, I would say, maybe one of the funniest people like on the planet.
That's true.
And I have a story about the first time I ever saw her perform.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Do you want to say it now?
Well, first of all, please welcome the one and only Sam J.
What's up?
Hello.
What's going on?
So, Sam, when you did JFL, which I want to say is
I have a lot of opinions first.
Yes, oh, please.
I have lots to say about what you guys were just talking about. First of all, you said Sam just got back to New York, and I was like, no, I haven't.
Right.
And I was like, oh, wait, no, you're not talking to me. Cool.
Yeah, this is
really
tough.
But Saltburn is my shit.
Really? Okay, say more.
I'm all about it.
We're big haters over here.
I heard it in the tone, and I was like, what? That was my shit.
What spoke to you about it?
It was just, it gave me very talented Mr. Ripley.
Well, yes. It was really screaming talented Mr. Ripley in your face.
It was definitely doing that. But also, I don't know. I like to believe that white people are this weird. Like, the rich white people are this fucked up.
Yes.
And so it's like, to open the little window and let me look in and be like, oh, they drinking tub cum? Like, that's crazy.
No, I get it.
So that's like a good time for me. I don't know. Like, I've never been in any of these situations. So like, maybe you guys have been adjacent to some shit like that where you could go like, you know what? That is over the top, or that's not how really it is. Like when I watch like a hood movie. But for me, I'm like, that's probably what they do. They probably drink tub cum.
Yeah, I've been around some real rich people before and they weren't drinking tub cum, but they were.
I'm trying to think.
They were more like just distant with their parents.
Yeah. I'm trying to think more like the richest white people I've been. I mean, I do think, to your point, WASP culture specifically, which Sam, I would say, knows more about than I do.
Are you, me?
No. ethnically speaking, are you?
Yeah, I'm very ethnic. I'm very WASP.
Okay, whereas to me, it's something that has always been so, like, it's so outside of my experience.
Sure, sure.
And
sure.
I've always felt like WASP culture is secretly the like kinkiest,
yes,
most like sexually depraved,
yes,
culture of all the white, yes, cultures. Because I think like, you know, growing, my family's Greek. We had a lot of friends who were like Italian, Jewish. What? And I feel like at least there is some openness about,
yeah,
like sin.
Yeah.
And just like being a human being.
Yes.
And it feels like that culture is so buttoned up. So like,
yes,
to watch Auburn and be like, oh, it really is. And like, mm-hmm, look at him fucking all these people.
Right.
Making them crazy.
And it's not only buttoned up, but it's like the way to put like a bow on it. Like even the fact that you meet some man who's like the head of murder at a bank and he's wearing like salmon colored pants. You're like, this is hiding some ugliness. Mm-hmm. That is why you're painting over it in pink.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. The way that you're describing it, I wish that were true. Like, I wish it were like a little bit hornier and a little more,
sure,
like chastity play.
And you're not like Connecticut WASP.
No,
you're
no,
Midwest,
no,
which is a different thing.
That's different.
That's different.
Yeah, that's different. I don't, yeah, like, and in fact, ultimately, when I think of you, I don't think of you as quintessential WASP.
That's more like down home, yeah, WASP.
Yes.
Yeah.
Connecticut,
yeah,
is where they're drinking the tub cum.
Yeah.
They are. That is literally, it's cocktail, mm-hmm, hour. Bring out the tub. It's little tubs of cum. No, I see what you're saying, Sam. But I also feel like it was so in your face that it like lost any of the eroticism for me or something.
Like salt burn?
So, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like it was.
I definitely at no point felt erotic. I was just like, ugh, these niggas nasty.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
There was no erotic moment for me.
Yeah.
I was just like, ugh.
Yeah.
We've been talking a lot about how it's sort of like, it's a cool thing now to do like MMF love triangles. I feel like, have you seen the trailer for that Zendaya movie with the tennis players?
No.
So it's Zendaya is a tennis player and then she gets a terrible injury and then she becomes a coach and she coaches these two guys that both have sexual relations with her. So it's sort of like
a throuple.
Is it gay, mm-hmm, with the two guys? Like, are they just both so into her that they're sort of doing diva worship at her? And then there's like, Saltburn was like that. Like, it's,
yeah,
almost like painting male bisexuality as like an inherently evil and sick thing. I feel like that's very in right now.
Also, we're just in an era where we're kind of like, yo, everybody be fucking on everything.
Yes.
Yeah. Totally.
Like, chill out.
I mean, I do think there's so much like content about like straight people polyamory, and I do think there is an incredible film to be made about just like basically like the contemporary version of like key parties and the,
yeah, like it, yeah, feels like that type of shit's coming,
it's
back.
Coming back.
It's coming,
yeah,
back.
Right. Like people are kind of like tired of,
yes,
doing the buttoned, mm-hmm, up thing.
And also because they all have gay friends now, they're like, oh, interesting. Those gay guys,
yeah,
are doing it. Maybe we can find a way to do,
right,
it.
Right. And I think also just like how the world should be, the less people are being like persecuted,
yes,
for shit, the more people are just opening their minds. And also the cocaine has gotten bad.
Mm.
So people need shit to do.
Totally.
That's true. They're looking for a rush.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I find sometimes I feel one of my most conservative moments is thinking about a straight couple in a threesome where I'm like, but how? Like, I'm sort of like, but one of you has to be gay then. And it's like, no.
No. So, no.
No, they don't. Yeah.
Someone can take the back, someone can take the front.
Exactly. And also how it's crazy how in fact that is almost more progressive than just
totally,
being gay.
Totally.
Like to be a straight man and have another man there and be like,
I don't gotta be gay.
I don't gotta be gay. Yeah.
Yeah. That's some freedom in that.
It's sort of,
yeah,
crazy. Like I'm
like,
not
gay
seeing
guys
a lot
would
of,
not be chill with a woman.
Exactly.
Just
gay guys are not having threesomes with women just to sort of test their limits.
Well, some of them kind of are.
I think,
actually,
yeah. And plus, there is a lot of, that's not true, because there's a lot of gay boys who like to fuck studs.
That's true. A lot.
It is very popular.
Yes. No, that's true. But to me, I guess that's, well, I don't
like,
know.
Like, what
I
does mean, that mean?
You don't know what a stud is? Oh my God.
I guess in what context? Just in case someone doesn't
Do you know what a stud is? A stud is a black dyke. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know.
You gotta get up on your black gay shit.
Okay.
So that's a stud. We don't say dyke. We say stud.
Okay.
And there are a lot, especially, I know a lot of black gay dudes who fuck studs, for sure.
Oh, okay.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, I also think as soon as anyone is like even a centimeter away from, you know, a clearly defined like gender role or whatever, I'm like, oh, I'm attracted to them. But I'm talking about like, would two gay guys have a threesome with like a white sorority girl? You know what I mean?
I don't think so.
Like, no.
But that would be so slay if they
it's
did.
It's just like Sydney Sweeney. It's two gay guys and Sydney Sweeney.
Wait, wait.
That would be iconic
would be
if
fun.
They did. Yeah, yeah.
That's
where we should be working towards.
Yes.
I well, yeah, there actually Goals. Is nothing more progressive, because I totally agree with you. Like, I am very often, basically anyone who's like slightly mask of center, I'm like, that counts as someone I would be attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to get on my Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah. Yeah. You're being closed-minded.
I am
you
being
really
closed-minded.
Are.
And in fact, femme-phobic and sexist. Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually so messed up of you.
Yeah. Damn.
Huh. Wow. I've been like popping onto Field recently.
Ooh.
See, Field to me is so straight people that like wish they were queer and want to have threesomes.
Well, because somebody was like,
I think Field is great.
Okay.
They paid me.
Oh. Right. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, part of me is like,
they do love to do, they do love to pay like queer comedians.
I'm like, wait, Venmo me. I've been popping on because part of me was like, what if I did an MMF? If it's trending this year, what if I did one?
Okay, wow.
I don't know if this is weird to talk about.
No, I want to hear more about
it. But it felt like bad to ignore it. It was I think about.
What if I did one?
What if I did it?
What does it look like in your head?
Well, that's the thing is in my mind, it's like, it makes sense and is like easy, but then I'll look at actual couples like that are looking and I'm like, well, no, like none of them like make
sense.
That's
what I'm saying, what kind of lady do you want?
Right, and that's a great question. And I don't know how that would actually work out.
This is the final stage of like gay male misogyny. It's like literally judging women to have sex with them. Like,
yes.
It's like we've fully come full circle.
Like,
It's like, let's just see what it's like. Let's
okay, so
see.
You're trying to find a straight couple. I thought it was going to be you and your partner looking for
I was all alone in LA and I said, well, what if I find a straight couple?
This is how LA gets
I think you gotta be like real particular about that.
Yeah.
Cause you don't want a straight couple that just like wants to use you up, like, you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
A piece of trash.
Yeah, yeah. Or do you?
It's hard to tell these days.
I don't know. I just feel like you want to make sure you're getting yours. You don't want to become just like a goofy little prop in
totally.
Their game.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I also like the idea of like going out to drinks with them sounds like a nightmare.
Well, it's tough because it will be
so
like,
you don't want to talk to them at all.
Yeah,
which you can arrange.
I do feel like I would have to talk to them, but it sounds annoying.
You don't have to talk to them at all. They could, like, people are fucking freaky.
That's true.
You could literally be like, I just want to walk in the middle of you fucking and start fucking stuff. Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, that's cool. We'll leave the door open.
Well, it's tough because the couples that you're going to find, I mean, it will be like a skinny guy with a ponytail.
Right.
And a woman with like a blue pixie cut.
That is the problem.
If you're online looking, it's going to be trash.
Board games.
You have to go. See, the thing is, you have to put yourself in the best position to do that. Like, you have to be in like Capri. You have to be being loose and free. Then it's like an Italian couple. They do freaky shit.
Yeah.
Sure.
Guy starts kissing on your neck. Woman starts licking your ear. Now it's time to pop it off. And that's cute. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You don't want to be online scrolling around for like bottom rung threesome action.
Yeah.
Especially when it's not like top of your list shit to do.
It's true.
You have to travel.
Basically, this is why people travel.
It's getting
yes.
Well, it is kind of why people travel.
Yeah,
I had that realization like not too long ago where I was like, so I've been doing travel wrong this whole time.
Yeah, I've been like going to museums.
I've been like reading books on the beach.
Yeah, you have to be finding strange couples.
Yeah, I mean, strange sex in different countries.
Yeah.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We are both dealing with such different issues in our day-to-day lives. You have a full-time job in Los Angeles. You've had to uproot your home. You have to figure out work-life balance. Meanwhile, I am a freelancer in New York City. How do I fit it all in one day? How do I create my own schedule? What am I, some boss lady in a film?
You know, it's so hard. You have to be boss and employee. But you know what? We can't keep these things bottled up. You know, we need to let them out.
That's right. People all carry around different stressors, both big and small. And when you bottle them up, it can start to affect you negatively.
Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
I'll tell you something. Therapy in the past for me has been just a place where once a week I can tell someone what I'm thinking of in a safe and enclosed space where no one can enter and ask me to send an email, because it is my time and it is my time for therapy. And everyone deserves that in all across this great nation.
Yeah. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and hey, suited for your schedule.
So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/stradio today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/stradio. Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mother's Day is right around the corner, and in true She Pivots fashion, we're highlighting moms who've dedicated their lives and their pivots to supporting mothers. The iconic Christy Turlington will join us to talk about launching Every Mother Counts after pivoting from her 90s supermodel days. And later, the co-CEOs of Baby to Baby will share how they're addressing the needs for millions of babies and moms. So tune in and subscribe to She Pivots. New episodes out every Wednesday. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Should we do our first segment?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, actually. Our first segment is called Straight Shooters, and in this segment, we're going to ask you a series of rapid-fire questions to gauge your familiarity with and complicity in straight culture. It's basically this thing or this other thing, and the only rule is you can't ask any follow-up questions or we will get so, so upset.
You okay. Are going to be confused, but you have to follow your heart.
Okay.
And I trust that you will be able to do that.
Okay.
Sam J. Mr. Bean or Madam Web?
Mr. Bean.
Okay. Sam J, Madam Web or Madam X?
Madam X.
Bottom of the ninth or bottoming tonight?
Hmm.
Bottom of the ninth.
Spelunking or tub thumping?
Ooh.
Tub thumping.
Mm.
Selling out to make some cash or getting clout by showing your ass?
Getting clout by showing my ass.
M'lady or Slim Shady?
Slim Shady.
The Temptation of the Christ or The Emancipation of Mimi?
The Emancipation of Mimi.
Okay, knowing when you'll die or showing a little thigh?
Damn.
Yeah, that's yeah. Tough.
Showing a little thigh.
Mm, wow. Mm-hmm. I have to say already I'm like perfect score.
Yeah, that was 1,000 doves.
Yeah.
we rate our guests on a scale of 1 to 1,000 doves. And I was there was just a confidence and a knowing yeah. there that I was very
the
impressed
The parallels
by.
Between ours mirror the fact that we showed up wearing the same exact outfit. It's actually nuts.
I'm actually already dreading having Instagram reels of having the same outfit.
I know,
and people
I know.
Will be like, is that their uniform?
Yeah.
Do they like just always wear plaid?
Do you feel...
Nice watch.
Thank you. Well, we were talking about watches before. This is my first ever nice one because
it's a really nice
it was an engagement gift.
Oh, come on. Good pussy.
But I'm like, you know, I've never... My entire life, I've worn a $20 Casio watch that I got on Amazon. I've never been a watch person. You get a taste of something and you're like, suddenly I'm
yeah,
gonna...
No.
I'm a Republican.
Yes.
I'm voting for Donald
yes,
Trump.
Yes.
And I am...
Baby, I'm
ready.
With you. I paid yeah. my taxes.
I am ready to be sponsored by Field and to get to go on some sort of corporate-sponsored sex vacations.
Yes.
Yes.
I yeah. want all that for you.
Yeah, you deserve that.
Thank you.
This is my engagement sex vacation.
Yeah, exactly.
Beautiful.
Oh, tell the JFL story.
Yes, yeah. Okay. So when you did Just for Laughs, probably like 2018?
Yeah. Yes.
I was in a different category that for anyone at home, I did New Faces Unrepped, which is the...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is like, for sort of newer people that don't have reps, it's like a showcase.
Were you there with Jayoung?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
That year.
And
okay.
Jayoung actually, because you came up in Boston, right?
Yes, yeah.
So I came up in Boston after you left. So I knew Jayoung from Boston and like, there were a few other Boston people there. Whatever, it was a good group. Marie, that's where I met Marie. I became like very close with Marie because we were like in the same hotel and they had put the unrep people in like the travel lodge.
Dude, they had put you in like a really bad situation.
And you guys were all in like the, you know, Hilton Plus or whatever.
Yeah, but it was like the levels, it's levels, right? Because I'm like, ooh, they're in the travel lodge and I'm in the Hilton Plus. And then Che comes and he's in like the Ritz. And fuck me, right?
Yeah.
There's always something to aspire to.
Hierarchies never end.
Mm-hmm. It never ends. Yeah.
But I was, you know, I was still living in Boston. I was so starstruck by everyone around me. Like, I had never met a famous comedian before, whatever. And they really, like, drilled into us, you have to do a 6-minute set. If you go over, like, basically someone's going to come with a cane and you'll be, like, pulled off the stage. Did my 6-minute set, whatever. Then I went to Sam's showcase and Sam came out and you did, I would say, 25 minutes.
Probably.
And I was like, the people were on their feet. I have never seen someone crush so hard. And I was like, this is what star power looks like, because it's like, the rules only, you have to follow the rules only if you're going to be within the rules. Like, if you're planning on actually basically like crush being like Jerry Seinfeld, I mean, whatever, bad example, but like being, you know, like the person that people remember, no one's gonna care that you did 25 minutes.
Yeah, I've been doing that shit since Boston.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever get mad at you?
Yeah, of course. Of course. But you know, it's truly not like an intentional fuck you or I don't care. It's just like, bro, I'm only gonna get to do this shit one time, dog.
Right. It's like when you're, you know when you're looking back, what are you gonna be like, oh, thank God I like,
rushed off the stage and didn't like land my joke because I was, you know, so caught up in whatever that was. I didn't even realize how much time I did till I got off. And people were like, damn, you did mad time. I was like, oh, for real?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also like, what you want to do is be memorable. People are going to remember someone who did something different than everyone else. Like,
Yeah. And I don't know. It's like you grow the act and it's fucking like, it takes me this long to do the jokes. You know, like, I don't, you know, the jokes gotta fucking loop and end and like do the thing.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the JFL.
I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah.
I'm like the complete opposite. I'm always like, 6? I'll do it in 5. Like, I'm like, I can go shorter.
I know. I mean, even now, I'm more comfortable now and I run the light, you know, when I feel like I want to, but then I'm apologetic for like 20 minutes afterwards. Oh, it's like, who cares?
I can't.
Also, no one wants to hear you be apologetic about running the light.
Dude, Rick Jenkins one time, I went over.
He's the one who like brainwashed me.
But he's, come on.
I know. So Rick Jenkins ran the club that I assume Sam and I like both sort of came up in. Okay. They did this thing called Comic in Residence every month where one comic would open every show for a full month and it was sort of like comedy boot camp.
For free.
I literally still remember my month was March.
For
like,
free.
Literally.
Yeah, I still, that calendar still laying around somewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, like for free.
Yes,
too.
For free. Yeah, for
like
free.
Slave labor. But anyways, he, like I went over, I don't know, maybe like 3-4 minutes and he was like punching the walls and shit in the back. And I come out the back and he's like, bleh. And I'm like, bro, like you don't pay me any money. You don't pay me any money. Like, this room is full of people who've paid to see us. You pay us nothing. Nothing. Nothing at the time.
It's funny. I don't even remember that.
I'm the reason why he started paying people, because we got in a yelling match about it at one point. And I'm like, dog, I'm going to do the time that I need to do to get good, because that's all I'm getting out of this. Like, fuck off.
Wow.
Wow. Go off.
It's so funny. I was like, so the opposite. I was like, I had such reverence, and I still have such reverence for him. I was like, this is, you know, I really believed in like gatekeepers, basically. Like, I was just sort of like, this is a man in, he would famously wear vintage Johnny Carson suits every night. This is a man in a suit who owns this club that like all these people came from. And every time I say that, the only example I can think of is Louis C.K. And I was like,
we also do both very much respect rules.
I know, it's tough. It's
like
tough.
Not.
It's tough because guess what? What have rules ever gotten me? Like, when I think about every opportunity I've gotten, basically none of them have been because I like submitted something that was approved. All of them have been something that is outside the system or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Shout out to Rick Jenkins, man.
I do have so much love for him, and I have such fond memories of that time.
But should we get into our topic?
Yes, let's get into our topic. So, Sam, you told us before we started recording that you have recently become a recent fan of a certain sport. Would you like to tell us what it is and what you think is straight about it?
Hockey?
Okay, yes.
Yeah. Everything.
Yes, I would have to agree.
The entire sport is it's super strange.
What got you into it?
I like sports, mm-hmm. and I really will watch any sport, to be quite honest with you. I watch competitive surfing. Like, if I can figure out the rules, yeah. I'll watch a sport. Like, I'm just into sports. But I'm a Boston kid, so hockey's, like, big, but it's also very white, so it's never been a thing, like, I liked. But I got invited out to the Garden to go see the Rangers, and I was like, I like sports. And and sports live is very different than sports on TV as mm-hmm. well. So I was like, well, let me go see hockey in my face, because I've never really watched it like that, except for, like, little league kid hockey shit, because mm-hmm. my, like, little cousin used to play hockey or whatever. So I went to the game. They were playing Arizona, the Coyotes, and it was fucking awesome. And I was like, oh, I'm all in. It's like a rowdier football. It's wild. Like, the fans are wild.
It is rowdy.
It's rowdy as shit. The fans are, like, swearing the entire time. Mm-hmm. And it was good to do it in New York, where, like, fans are fans. You know what yeah. I mean? They're banging on the glass. People are getting their ass beat.
It's sort of like American and Canadian version of, like, soccer hooligans.
Yes.
Like, people who need to blow off steam will go to a hockey game.
Yes, it is that. And it's like the people in the stands fight, the people on the ice fight.
Yeah.
And I like that it's like they don't stop the fights, you know? Like, they just get to fight and the ref just watches them fight, and then the ref's just like, enough, you guys stop it now. You punch each other in the face enough.
Yeah, what do you go hockey? What do you think it is about hockey that brings that out in people? Is it sort of that, like, a lot of the other American sports also have an air of, like, patriotism to them, so you have to, like, have reverence for the flag, whereas in hockey, no one cares?
Do you want to know my real theory?
Yes.
Yeah, please.
My theory is that hockey is mostly white.
Yes.
And so, like, because I think every sport, like, football players would love to punch each other in the face as well.
Mm.
But football has a lot of black people in it, and then white people in it. And I think they don't want black people putting white people's asses.
Right, the optics would be bad. Yeah.
Hockey, on the other hand, is just white people beating up white people.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know what this reminds me of? Is I was recently talking to someone about how, like, in straight culture, hear me out, in straight culture, because there are existing gender dynamics and gender stereotypes, it's much more difficult to experiment with, like, sexual, someone being the dominant one, someone being the submissive one, because you are dealing with so many decades and centuries of history. Whereas with two gay people, they're starting on equal footing, so they can literally, like, punch each other and there's nothing wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what you're saying is like that, but for race.
Yes.
Like, in the rest of the sports, the optics of any sort of fighting between white and black people have so much history that they are commenting on.
Yes.
Whereas if it's just white people, they can basically kill one another.
When basketball was, like, super white, they would fight and shit, right?
Oh.
And then as it got black, when Larry Bird got his ass whooped by all them 76ers, then it was kind of like, stop.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh. Stop letting people punch each other around.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, basically, like, a homogenous community ends up having so much more violence and sin.
I think so.
Hockey also, it's interesting to look at an ice rink, okay, like the ice. It can be the gayest thing ever. I mean, figure skating is the gayest thing ever.
Right.
Or even going to the ice rink with your, like,
not how these guys hockey, bro.
Yeah, yeah, that's
right. It's man shit.
And then it's like the other end of the spectrum.
It's like super hetero.
Yeah.
But it's also you have to be very skilled to do it. I think that's one of the things that got me into it, mm-hmm. seeing it up close. It's like, wow, they really got to follow this little puck around. They on skates. They got to keep their balance. They aim the puck at things. They have to set up play. It's like the referees on skates. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot going on.
It's actually very impressive that they're able to sell it as masculine. Because little skates.
Yeah, they are.
Around.
And in fact, the queer version of that is roller derby. That is so, like, you know, that lesbian movie with Elliot Page.
Yeah.
Roller derby is kind of like, it's kind of like that. But, like, I don't know. It's different.
It's also confusing. What I've always been confused about with hockey is it is, like, expensive. I feel like it was always like wealthy people that were playing it.
Yes.
But it also has, like,
an air of working class.
Yeah.
Yes.
An air of, like, trashy people.
Yeah. So I'm like, how can you have both?
What is the... Yes, exactly.
Which is it?
Yeah.
I think it's like trashy middle class.
I think that is absolutely correct.
Got it. I see it. I yep. see it so clearly.
It is absolutely trashy middle class. Yes. Which is actually such a
they
difficult...
have a big basement.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I haven't seen they have a finished basement.
They got a pool table.
Yes.
But also the dad is really stressed out about how to keep this all going.
Yeah. Complains about money every second.
Every day.
Yeah. And the money goes into like a home, like a better TV.
Yeah.
It's not like a renovation where the mom is looking at swatches of wood.
I'm seeing the couple fight and being like, well, you're the one that wanted the kids to play hockey.
Yeah, exactly.
The mom wears the Uggs with the sparkly.
Yes.
Yeah. The sparkly
and she's
material.
Got little, like, little pins in them.
Yes. Little pins. She comes out of the hairdresser, the hair is 5 feet tall.
Yeah. She's like the bitch of that town.
I mean, you know what hockey is? Sarah Palin hockey mom. Like, that is so Alaska.
Wow. Yeah.
Mom with five kids.
Yeah.
Tattooed lip liner, and she's there to support the boys.
Yes,
and she brought juice boxes.
Son's getting a Nissan Xterra for graduation.
Exactly.
You know, I'm surprised there hasn't been a movie about like the closeted gay hockey player wanting to actually be a figure skater. That seems like
so
obvious.
Great. Yeah, I completely agree.
And he's like doing tricks out there.
Yeah,
and they're nice. Makes him like the illest because he's doing like
right. Well, it's after hours, and he tells his parents, "I'm going to go practice."
Yeah,
but then he's actually practicing the double axel.
Yeah,
and then the coach comes and looks at him, and he's like, "What, sissy boy? What are you doing here?"
He's like, it's not what it looks like.
It's not what it looks like.
But then he does it in a championship game
and makes the final goal.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
Makes the final goal.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
And then the kids are like,
maybe gay shit isn't so bad.
Yeah, all the other guys, all the other kids on the team like turn around and start making out with one another. They're like, wait, are we all gay?
I'm like, that's a beautiful film.
Yeah, I agree. We actually are very good at coming up with gay inspirational films. We had an idea that we were going to do first lesbian American Girl doll. It's going to be an IP movie like Barbie. But it's going to be about the first lesbian American Girl doll.
I like that.
Yeah,
actually.
I mean, because all of them are like dressed.
I used to collect American Girl dolls when I was like little, like in elementary school.
Yeah,
like when they first popped off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I had Samantha, I had Addie, I had Molly.
My sister had Samantha.
Samantha was the one. She had all the little posh cute shit.
I forget all their names.
And I remember there was the first Native American one. I think her name was Kaya.
Yeah, Addie was the first black one, and of course she had to be a slave because. America.
So the first black one was a slave?
Yes, she ran away with her mama to the north and lived in an attic of some lady seamstress shop. It was trash.
Meanwhile, the white ones' backstories are literally like, her mom had a rash, but then got better.
Yeah.
It was pretty like,
the kitchen burned down one day.
The kitchen burned down.
But I was excited that there was a black one, period.
Sure,
so I was into it. And like the author who wrote the books, they were really good books. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. I have all three and they were signed. So I'm not going to lie.
Oh, wow.
They were good books. But as an adult looking back, I'm like, this bitch could have been the 70s.
Right.
Yeah. We didn't need this lady to be a slave.
Yeah, or sort of a Studio 54. Like, she loves disco.
and Coke.
Yeah,
I would wanted that for Addie.
She loves disco and Coke.
We should do a follow up on Addie.
Yeah.
She lived 200 years.
Yeah, she lived 200 years. She's seen a lot in her day.
Which is why she has to go dancing.
Which is why she has to go dancing.
And
wow.
She's so old, she can't stay up late, so she has to do a bunch of Coke.
So this was the best part about this game, I should tell you, actually.
Please.
Because this is the thing that made me go, I'm going to forever be a hockey fan. So the Rangers won. They won the fucking thing. Boom, boom. Yay. And then a big brawl broke out because they went. So the Rangers were beating up the Arizona people and they like beat the Arizona people's ass. And the referees didn't do anything to stop it because the game was over. Mm-hmm. So they were just pummeling these dudes, blah, blah, blah. Like people are bleeding and shit. And then the Arizona people, because they got their ass beat, they had to like skate away, all sad. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of cool to like, get your ass beat on skates and then you got to skate off. Like, oh, damn, I got fucked up. And then the Rangers all stood in a circle. And on the ice, they made a circle and they held up their hockey sticks and everyone was just like banging on the glass like, yeah, you fucking beat their ass.
Wow.
And I was like, that's so cool because you get to like beat the team in points and then you get to like beat them the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's awesome.
Well, the going away sad is really funny because skating is sort of inherently graceful and you probably have to keep telling yourself like, don't be graceful. Like, don't be gay.
Yeah.
Just skate as straight as possible.
Yeah, they were like skating mad. Like,
yeah. But it actually is so hard to do that because you have to be like, whoosh, whoosh.
Yeah.
I'm realizing my version of going to LA and getting on field to look for MMMs is that when I moved here, I was like Googling like gay stuff and there was like, oh, there's a gay hockey league. And I was like, oh, I'll be a gay hockey player. But it was like, I have never played hockey in my life. I've like ice skated a handful of times. But for
did
some
you
reason,
end up going?
I was like, did you go check it out?
Not even once.
Damn.
Would have been fun though.
I wanted
to report. Leagues are such. Have you ever been in like a gay sports league of any sort?
No, but I watched like the gay lady football.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always curious about just like
I love the concept.
I like the concept too, but I'm also like, okay, so what are we all doing after this?
Well, I'm sort of like, right, this is all like for sex, right?
Yeah.
This is all like a sort of precursor to that, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
The boys are so horny.
I know. Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
And I have to say, it sort of has only gotten worse as we
No,
older.
The boys are bad. Like, yeah. All my male friends, I'm like, you guys, I pray for y'all. I don't know if you're ever going to get it together.
I would say it is a disability.
Oh, it's...
Yeah, the way y'all are horny and you have no, like, I was thinking about this. I was like, on both sides, right, there's no... balance, right? Because yes. It's just horny dude with horny dude. You don't have no lady in there to be like, you need to calm down.
Yeah, and Sydney like, Sweeney's not in yet.
Yeah, Sydney Sweeney needs to step in.
Like,
yeah.
You need to fucking relax. But then, like, with two girls, there's no guy to make it horned up. So we can, like, sit around for 2 weeks and not fuck because there is no horny-ass energy being like, yeah. If I don't fuck, I'm going to die. You
but
know?
Then, not to stereotype, when you do fuck, it lasts 5 hours.
Yeah, no, absolutely. When we do get it on, it's going for a long time. It's enough to fill your bank up.
It's literally like, let's just press play on the entire Mr. and Mrs. Smith miniseries. And by the time it's over, we'll be almost ready.
You know, I have been to one hockey game in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Long.
Oh, sure.
So
sure.
Long. Did yeah. you? I felt like, I was like, when is this thing
like gonna compared
end?
To other sports, or is it because you don't go to a lot of sports? Mm-hmm. Sorry, I didn't mean that as a to attack you.
Huh.
I was just genuinely
that
curious.
Might be true though, because I do go to a lot of sports.
Yeah, I guess all sports are longer than I think. I'm sort of thinking that it should be like a cool 60 minutes.
To me, the only two sports that exist are men's tennis and women's tennis. And for women's tennis, I was like, I wish it was longer. And for men's tennis, I was like, how are we still doing this?
Mm.
I feel like every sport is at least an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I really went with like, you know, irony in mind. I had a friend who was like really into hockey and I was like, sure, I'll go with you. That sounds like he was like, let's chug beers beforehand. And I was like, sure. And then it was like,
it just wasn't in you.
And no, about a half hour in, I was like, I'm ready to leave Long Island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't in you.
Yeah.
It's got to be in your spirit. And it just wasn't.
And even, you know, when they're doing cheers and you like want to partake because you don't want to be like a party pooper, but it just doesn't feel natural.
No, I don't know that.
Do you get like excited?
I'm all in it.
Yeah, yeah. You're
I go to a sport. I'm in the sport.
Mm-hmm. I would love to feel that. Like just once.
I know.
Yeah, I'm all in. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm so self-conscious.
Yeah, for us to be all in, we'd have to like.
I don't know. Like it just doesn't feel lived in.
Yeah.
You feel like a fraud.
Yeah.
You need to be with like a group of gay guys.
That's why you should have went to gay hockey.
Gay hockey, passing around the poppers, new Dua Lipa blasting.
Yeah. You need it to be like your way.
Yeah. Gay hockey better last 20 minutes than the rest of
the gay hockey is 20 minutes and then a concert and then a Caroline Polachek concert.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That you have. There's a version of it out there for you.
I'm going to find it.
Well, we had a sort of micro moment where we were like, is sports the future of... I think when we were coming out of the pandemic, we were so starved for communal experiences. Mm-hmm. And I had just gone to... Again, the only sport I watch is tennis. I just gone to the U.S. Open and just had such an amazing time. And Sam and I were like, we need to start going to like maybe basketball games. I think that's like a good entry level.
Yeah, it is. Sport. And they're fun. That's my favorite thing to do is go to basketball games.
I mean, talk about another thing I get jealous when I see people like our friends like going to the games and like having good tickets and being like, look at us and like cool. And I'm sort of like, I know even if someone were like, do you want to come to this? I would be like, I should say yes, but like.
You gotta go to a straight bar and let some guys punch you in the chest.
I think that would actually
dump
be a
some
great
beers on your
head. Yeah.
That would be huge, actually. That could change a lot.
I think, maybe gay men of our generation were actually not bullied enough. Like, we need to like hire some straight guys to give us some trauma, so we
some trauma
have
so
something
can,
to write about.
Yeah, you can go watch a sport in peace.
Yeah, we do need more pressure. We need more something. Yeah, we do have it really easy right now.
I really do think we do. Honestly,
I'm having this thing. We always talk about like our, you know, comedy bubble and like only knowing other gay comedians or whatever. I'm like in a room now with this guy who's like so funny, lives in Bushwick, like blocks away from me, and I'm like, how have I never met you? And it's like
straight guy.
Because he's straight.
Yeah,
yeah.
And there's like all the, I'm like, they have, there's circles that we don't know just because we're obsessed with gay guys.
I think that the boys get away with that more than the girls too.
It's true.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think the boys can just like go super insular like that.
Yeah.
I feel like more like, especially like masculine of center women I know, it's like we have all the friends. We have straight guy friends, gay guy friends. You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, and a lot of gay guys I meet, they're like, I don't know gay dudes.
Well, I do think, we've said this many times, but it's like the lesbian lifestyle is literally utopian. It's like if lesbians were in charge, there would be full equality. Like there would
really
be no war.
We and really then, do have it figured out.
And then gay guys, like, if anything, would set us back. Like it would literally be like, okay, so for the inauguration, we can like have matching party favors, and that's like the end of their plan.
I feel like also gay
and then
guys,
fucking
and then and fucking
it would definitely be a hornier world.
Yes, hornier world for sure,
which, you know, give or take is sometimes worse,
because like all my homies, I always find like, you know, they'll come over my house. My house is kind of like a haven of lesbian love. Sure. You know what I mean? So boys are always coming over. My girl's always cooking. It's kind of like a place where you can slow down and stop fucking everything and kind of reflect on yourself.
A safe house. Like the gay guy has just been at a like 14-hour no loads refused party. And he's like, I have to go to Sam J's house to think for one
truly
second.
Truly, it's like that. I have friends who like, they're gone on a popper binge fuck for like 3 days, and they come looking weary eyed.
You're like feeding them with a bottle.
It's like, cool.
Wow, home for broken boys.
And then when we always talk, it's like they're always like, I just wish I had what you had, and I want that, and it's just so hard to find that. And I'm like, oh, you want that for real? And then by the time it's midnight, they're in an orgy, and I'm like, baby, you don't want this.
Yeah, it's like if you want that, name one name one action you have made to get to that point.
Yeah, it's like you don't want this at all. The boys are, but I'm happy for y'all.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful lifestyle.
Because on the other side, when I first came out, it was like, I just wanted to fuck a bunch of girls. And it was like, that ain't even how this works.
Yeah.
It works, but you got to do more work. Y'all got apps with just buttholes on them. Mm-hmm. You don't even got to think.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's like, ain't no lesbian just pussy. And it's like, which one you want to lick?
I'm surprised that there isn't even one.
No.
For lesbians?
Yeah.
Women are not like that.
Well, in my experience, hopefully I'm not speaking out of turn, but, you know, every time I've been sort of close to, like, a lesbian friend group / community, usually what ends up happening, again, in my limited experience, is that there turns out to be, like, one head honcho, and it's this, like, one hot, you know, butch lesbian who is the one that everyone, she's, like, the queen bee.
Okay.
That everybody
wants
to fuck.
That everybody wants to
fuck. Yes.
Whereas with gay guys, it's almost more like, it's more of a, it's Madam Web. It's more of a web.
It also is like, you have to like, not to say women don't have casual sex and all that, but it's just a different entry point into that casual sex.
Yes, yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because women still want to feel like dainty and valuable, so to just like spread their asshole open and only show they still want you to like their face.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny
they're
how
like, you have to like me.
It's funny how women, sort of gay women, have self respect and gay guys don't.
Yeah, I've never felt like that.
They're literally like, you have to still like all of me and like tell me I'm pretty.
Yeah,
but I'm like, dudes are like, just look at my butthole. Is that good enough for you?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you just don't want to know people's whole deal.
And by whole deal, we do mean face. It actually
is a name, of course.
Something I have like struggled with is like, I'm not all the way at the, you know, butthole only end of the spectrum, but I also don't necessarily, you know, want to fall in love with someone new.
Right.
So I want to know a little bit about someone just to get a little like, okay, what can we connect on, whatever. But then it's a fine line because then there's going to be one more personal fact and I'm like, and I'm out.
Yeah.
I actually did not need to know about
and
your
mom. I just think the boys can be like, boys are like boys, you know? Yeah, like, yeah. They don't mind getting dirty. They don't mind, you know? So it's like, there's that too. Like, I don't even know how I'd feel about a woman who was like, I'm in the restroom at Saks, come eat my pussy. I'd be like, bitch, you're nasty. I'm not eating that nasty girl's pussy. Like, fuck out of here. Hell no.
Even at Saks?
I mean, it's not a gas station.
Listen, it's not Nordstrom Rack. Like, yeah, if she's like, I'm at Nordstrom Rack, cover the dressing room, I'm like, right, maybe that's not the one. But, you know, we're talking, you know, Barney, Saks, like, I think something could happen there.
Wow. Yeah, I don't have the same judgment.
Yeah. I mean, it's a level of, like, freer, for sure.
My thing is, I'm always like, I want to do the most dangerous thing ever, but then when it comes to it, I get scared and don't want to do it. So I'm always in this stage of, like, wanting to, but never going for it.
But that's sort of what it's all about.
Isn't that?
Yeah, because then if you do go all the way, then what is left?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like, I don't know. The boys are just, y'all just buck wild. Like, I discovered this series of portos where it's just a bunch of, like, hood black niggas fucking in the park.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about? It's insane. I'm like, the boys are fucking wild. They all got on shiesties, bro. They all wear shiesties so you can't see them. Some of them be having guns and they be like, yeah, we doing that gay shit. They act so aggressive about doing gay stuff. And they're like in a public park, like off a camera phone, just like getting head and like, it's fucking crazy. And I'm like,
well, sorry we're not in a Saks fitting room, Sam.
Like, the boys are just a wild.
Yeah.
Wow. That's, you know, it's a rich history.
It is a rich history.
And I think that's progress. When I saw those boys, though, I felt happy. I was like, okay, this is progress.
Yeah, absolutely. What I'm trying to think what the equivalent, basically, like, the history of gay men is, like, figuring out different ways to have sex in public. Yeah. What is the equivalent for lesbians?
That's what I mean. It's
different,
like,
ways to be a singer-songwriter.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, it's so sad, actually, but it's so much more tamed. Because even if we're going to be like nasty hoes, right? Even if it's like, we about to have a freak off nasty session. We're planning it. There's like a buffet. Like, we got catering. Absolutely. It's a nice house.
Gluten-free.
We're going to invite. Yeah. We're going to invite. Yeah. Come over. Like, we'll have wine. We'll still talk. It's not like.
You're doing like consensus voting on every person being invited.
Yes.
So there's a land acknowledgement.
Yes. There's land acknowledgement. The meeting to plan the event is actually longer than the event itself.
Yes. Yes. Like, it's like that. It's not like just we could pop it off right here.
Yeah.
In the park. We definitely not doing it in the park. And also, it's just more complicated for us. Like, we got to pull our whole pussies out. We got to get on the ground. Shit, a lot got to go on. You just stick a little thing out your shorts and you can go crazy. And it's like, more complications.
But a penis actually has to come out. Whereas, like.
But I'm saying, once it's hard, bro, you can just boop and you're there. Like,
for sure.
You got to, our whole butt got to come out.
No,
for
it's
real.
True, it's true.
It's like a whole thing.
Wow. I feel like this is such a beautiful meeting of cultures.
I know. I'm learning so much. I was, the other day, just 2 days ago, I was coming back from the gym and I had forgotten underwear. So I was just like wearing, and I only had like a 10-minute walk from the gym to my house. It was not a big deal, but I was just wearing pants with no underwear because I didn't have any. And I was wearing pants that had a button
How did you forget the underwear?
I just like was packing my gym bag and forgot
and just
to put
it in. Yeah. And then you sweated out the window you were like, that's nasty.
Exactly. Okay. And it's like a 10-minute walk. I'm like, I'll be fine. I was wearing pants that had a button fly.
Ooh.
And I swear, not rather than a zipper one. So I was like.
Jeans?
In fact, these exact jeans. They had like.
That wasn't chafing?
I wouldn't say chafing. It definitely felt airy. There was wind that was going through the, through the buttons.
Yeah.
So I was. I made some sort of sudden movement, and I'm not joking, two buttons popped open. So I looked down, and truly, if someone had been in front of me, they could have seen through that area. And so I made sure no one was there. I sort of went into a corner to, like, basically button the two buttons. Look to my left. I'm in front of an elementary school.
No.
Oh, no.
So that's my story.
Not meeting the groomer allegations.
Literally,
right,
like,
here.
Sometimes you just are like, wait.
And that's also messed up. I don't like, because I have a lot of male friends, I don't like how scared you guys are about your dick being out because you know, like, you'll go to jail. I think there needs to be some balance in that. Because women aren't that, like, if some, like, we don't want it because we don't want people to see it, but we're not like, oh my God, I might be a criminal. You know, like, that's fucked up.
Well, men are just more menacing overall, like whether they're straight, gay, whatever.
I know, yeah. But if we want true equality, we yeah. can't be like persecuting guys.
You know what? We need more women like streakers or like flashers.
I 100% agree,
actually think that would really, because we don't need them to commit actual violent crimes. We, just like for more women subway masturbators.
I think we need to be able to at least go topless. Like, yeah. That's the thing. Like,
just in day-to-day
yeah,
life.
Like, I would love to have my titties out more than I'm allowed to. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. even when I did Pause and I did the titties out episode, we had to, like, get all this shit from the police. Seriously.
Yeah.
Like, we had to go to the city of New York and be like, some titties gonna be out. And they was like, where, what street, and what time.
Right.
And there was all these regulations and rules around when the titties could come out, how long the titties could be out.
Meanwhile, on the same network, they had the siblings fucking each other on Game of Thrones.
And it's like, dude, like dudes just can walk. It was like a whole to-do. It was like a whole thing. We had to get like a thing from the city to make it okay for my titties to be out. And I'm like, see, this is the patriarchy.
Eric Adams is like shaking your hand.
This is the problem right here. Is that
yeah.
I'm not allowed to just whip these things out whenever I feel so inclined to.
I thought I was allowed now.
No, baby. I had
not unless it's well. In fact, it's probably only allowed if you're actively breastfeeding.
Yeah.
So you have to carry around your American Girl doll.
I had to like get some shit.
That's crazy.
And it was like a certain length of street, and they were like, and we couldn't do it in Manhattan. They were like, no, titties out in Manhattan. They were like, oh, you can't do it there.
Yeah, you're like,
they were like, no.
You're like, we'll see you in Astoria, love.
Wow.
Oh my God. We should do a dicks out episode of Straighter Lab.
You should.
Do you remember? Remember the like? It kind of went viral. The like Raf Simons look where they had like little dick windows.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, that would be so iconic
women
to wear
could
for
really
real.
Really whack it on the train. I was thinking about this.
Right, you need to have like a candle lit.
Yeah, I just feel like we gotta get them. Seriously, I'm just thinking about how I masturbate. It's like totally. It's a mood, it's a vibe. Yeah. If it's a trick, like that's the part of men I don't get. It's like there is a bunch of strangers around. Like that's so uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, it's like what we used to say. Like men are literal, women are metaphorical. Like men, it's like sex is. It's literally like it's flaccid, then it's hard, and then it has to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with women, it's like, well, she has to write a novel, and then if that novel does well commercially, she can. Have sex.
Yeah, it's like you need a personal win.
Yeah.
In order to like, I was thinking about that shit with my girl because I was like, you know, it's so weird because I was telling my homie, I'm like, there's so many times we'll get in a fight and like sex would probably fix it.
Yes, 100%.
Sex would probably fix this altercation, mm-hmm. but we're both women, so we're both like, no, I need to feel heard and I need to feel retributed before my vagina will be released.
Yeah.
And so it's just like a two stalemate of a situation because it's like, yes, I'm the masculine one, but I'm a woman. So it's like, if you upset me and I feel like you are still not getting it, no, we're not fucking.
Mm-hmm.
We're not.
That is so true.
We are not.
I mean, I do feel that in my relationship as well. There's so many times when if we're fighting, I'm like, oh, wait, do we just need to have sex?
I know. It really, I do wish it was just as easy as like flipping on a switch.
Because it would fix it. Yeah. It really would.
Yeah.
I actually think that it would actually work in other contexts too, even professional ones. Like, I am just thinking, like,
we're always arguing for sex in the workplace.
What if everyone, like, in a work meeting was, like, pissed because someone didn't do the presentation right? It's like, I don't know. What if we just explore each other's bodies?
Like, a full HR meeting, and I've actually never been so scared of sex in my life.
Oh, I know.
I was like, oh, my God, so much is illegal.
I know.
I'm actually like, this podcast we're recording right now is illegal. Like,
it's
we're actually
100%,
making
and we will be arrested.
Yeah, we're definitely harassing everybody in this room.
Yeah,
well, the
yeah.
same people that arrested Sam for doing a boobs out episode are going to come and arrest us.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Should we?
I mean, so that's pretty much hockey.
Yeah. So that's hockey.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts on hockey?
No, I mean, I'm just going to keep going. Also, the kid from Stranger Things goes all the time, and we're kind of becoming hockey friends.
Which kid?
Great question.
He plays Dustin.
Oh, sure.
Which one's he?
He's the...
Whoa, I didn't say that.
Wow.
I didn't say that. No. I like him.
Okay, cut that.
In Matarazzo.
Yeah, I was looking up his name so we could save this.
Yeah, we'll save. Oh, there he is. Yeah, yeah. We'll retake it. He's the talented one. He's so talented, that kid. I love all the ads he does for like Verizon or something.
Yeah, he's the one that does the ads.
Isn't it crazy?
But I did call him Dustin the first time I met him, and he responded. He was nice because he could have been like, "Bitch, that's not." I was like, "Yo, Dustin." He was like, "What's up?" I was like,
"Those kids, the boys all seem to be pretty well adjusted." And then Millie Bobby Brown, you know, is a whole other thing.
Yeah, I hope she's doing okay.
Genuinely same.
I hope they're all doing okay.
I do too. It's such a hard business.
Yeah.
But at least they have Winona Ryder as their on-screen mom.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mother's Day is right around the corner, and in true She Pivots fashion, we're highlighting moms who've dedicated their lives and their pivots to supporting mothers. The iconic Christy Turlington will join us to talk about launching Every Mother Counts after pivoting from her 90s supermodel days. And later, the co-CEOs of Baby to Baby will share how they're addressing the needs for millions of babies and moms. So tune in and subscribe to She Pivots. New episodes out every Wednesday. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Should we do our final segment?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, our final segment is called Shoutouts, and in this segment we pay homage to the Grand Strait tradition of the radio shoutout and give a shout out to anything that we enjoy at all. Do you have one? We'll go first.
Yeah, I can think of one. What's up, everyone back home? I want to give a shout out to Tracy Ullman and also frankly to Larry David for 25 years of incredible television. I am starting the latest season of Curb, the last season, the final season, and I just feel such gratitude that I have grown up with the comedy stylings of Larry David. Oh. He has shaped me so completely. To have Tracy Ullman in that role is an absolute stroke of genius. She is one of our best, and I could not be happier to see them on my screen every Sunday. Larry David, shout out from Brooklyn, New York, spiritually, even though we're in Midtown. Love ya. And come on the pod.
Oh, please. Okay, I have one. What's up, freak losers and perverts around the globe? I want to give a huge shout out to rushing around in New York. This is a feeling that I have not felt in over a month because I've been in LA where everything moves a little bit slower and is boring. But in New York, I was running late. I was passing people on the sidewalk. I was saying, hello, while people were not going up the stairs fast enough. I ate Chipotle faster than anyone has ever eaten Chipotle in their life, and I felt alive. I'm back. I was going to say I'm never going to leave, but that's not true. I'm leaving on Sunday, and then who knows what the future holds, but I love rushing around New York City. Woo!
All right,
these are the gayest shoutouts on planet literally. Earth.
That's true.
Yo, they're like descriptions. Yeah, shout out to just a list. You just like shout out to chicken. Yeah. Shout out to my grandma. Shout out to you. Just list them all. All right, I'm gonna do it y'all way. I'm gonna give a shout out to pears. I've been eating a lot of pears lately.
Oh.
I used to eat them as a kid, and I kind of just stopped, and now I'm like in love again. There's so many different kind. I like those like expensive rich ones, the rich nigga pears that come in the box, you know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Bong bong, them shits is juicy. You know, it's filling. I eat a pear, I'm like, I'm good for at least half the day. I don't gotta really eat till dinner. I love that about it.
Huh.
Yeah, shout out to pears, man.
Shout out to pears.
God, you did good things.
A real rich person's fruit, I have to say.
Yeah, they're kind of alt even.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're, yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
No, I just feel like a basket of like beautiful pears.
Yeah,
is like
the little
a gift.
Like golden ones.
It's like
come
a gift
on,
Oprah would send you for winning an Emmy.
Yeah, and I would like that. I would be so happy about it. And when they're cold, come on, man.
Also, it's like, I feel like it's something that you see on a menu, like something with poached pear. It'll be like pork with poached pear or something.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Huh. I really am rethinking my relationship with pears.
Yeah.
Well, they are really the alt apple.
They're the alt apple, of course. Yeah.
And it's like, it's better. Like, I'm kind of like, get that bitch ass apple out my face.
Yeah, I actually agree with
you. I grew up. You know, like, that's kid shit.
I'm not a baby.
I'm grown.
Yeah,
there is something about it's almost like apple is Solange. Or sorry, apple is Beyonce and pear is Solange. Yeah. No offense to.
Of course.
But it is slightly more elevated.
Well, Sam, thanks for doing the podcast. This has been great.
Thanks for having me.
Absolute delight. Thank you so much for doing it. And to everyone out there, love ya.
Podcast ends now.
Want more? Subscribe to our Patreon for 2 extra episodes a month, Discord access, and more by heading to patreon.com/StradioLab.
And for all our visual learners, free full-length video episodes are available on our YouTube.
Now get back to work. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.